You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seven in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Christopher DeSimone, Matthew ESQ. If you missed any part of the show, KVOI.com. The first hour, Matt and I talked about our amazing weekends. Matt did the auto project rides and green chili cheeseburgers. Nothing wrong with that.
And got a preview of Film Fest Tucson as well.
Oh, that's right. I was mentioning when I met with Shane from Foodie, I took the word film and herb and I put it together and I said ferb. I called him film herb.
Well, he was at the event and so I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he was introduced, so I did see him.
So people asked me years ago, what happened to Herb? He used to be on the show, okay? So what happened was Herb, after his other film fest thing stopped, right? Herb was looking at jobs in this town.
Right.
And what happened was that for Carrie's sanity, his wife, I said, you need to leave the show. It's okay. He's like, well, why? I go, we're too hot. There's jobs he was looking for. I'm sure there was someone on their board that we've poked at. So I just said, just go. It's okay. So that's why Herb's not on the show because of me. Because I wanted Carrie to be happy. So it's mine and Herb's job to make Carrie happy. So we're making Carrie happy. And he's flourishing with his film fest. So there's no bad blood between us and Herb. We originally did it because, me and Carrie were worried about our boy having a job. So this is where we're at. So, and you're a sponsor, I hear, of a film. Is this true?
The Pez Outlaw. It's a free showing. It's going to be at Main Gate Square. There's a little space off the street that has a.
Explore the space.
Cowbell. And it's a neat movie. We can talk about it later this week, but it's called The Pez Outlaw. Free screening. And I believe it's on Friday night, so I'll get the specific time.
This Friday night?
No. Friday in a couple weeks.
All right, we'll talk about after we talk to Carlos. So, yeah. Carlos, what's up, buddy?
Hi, how you doing, Chris?
We're doing it up, buddy.
Yeah, I heard. I heard on the way in.
HT Metals, and you're a part of the Job Creators Network.
Yep.
And Carlos is one of those very good guys great business owner, but also very concerned about what's going on with the region and the community, and we always give you credit. You're always
thank you.
I'm trying to help.
I try to stay low key, but involved, and I feel that's an obligation of
strong,
being a
strong
owner.
And classy. That's what we say about Carlos. So you first came on our radar when Joe and I first started the show because you were on the board of Tankaverde School District.
Yes, I was on Tankaverde School Board for 7 years.
Yeah,
left right before Corona,
and that's what and so that's kind of how we got to know each other, because this is something that Joe and I mean Joe's in the school business now, for God's sakes. So we were talking, we had David Hook, who is part of the Vail Incorporation, on a couple of Mondays ago, if you miss it, kvy.com. and then you reached out to me and said, hey, us Tankaverde kids are thinking about this too.
Right. We people have been kicking it around out there off and on. There's certain things that happen that stir the community members up. One of them being currently there was a zoning commission hearing that had been going on. It's been going on for a number of years right there on the corner of Tankaverde and Tankaverde.
I know this one well.
Tankaverde and Houghton. And so
what's really amazing, there's two of these rezones.
Yes.
By the same guy, owner, and the same civil engineer, Portner, okay, who's driving those people crazy, and then a listener out like on southwest side of town.
Okay.
So when she said what they were upset about, right, and a rezone and blah, 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 and then I said, this is the one on Tankaverde and Houghton?
Yeah.
Right? She goes, well, no, this is the one out on Valencia. I went, what? And then I said, who is it? And it turns out to be the same guys, which is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, and then there are actually already scraping the ground off of Catalina Highway and Tankaverde. That's that one.
What corner?
It's behind the north Goodwill.
Behind the Goodwill. North of the intersection.
I think that's going to be either high density housing or an apartment building or some sort of thing.
We were wondering about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
is that going to be one of those Rex Scott homeless apartments that they want to put all over the place?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But those kinds of things, they stir up the emotions of the community members because we moved out. I moved out there. For the rural, I don't have horses, but I live on horse property, so yeah. I could have horses if I wanted to. There's a lot of people that can have horses, and so the zoning is suburban ranch one, primarily. So that's one house per what 3.3 acres. Actually, that's pretty spaced out. There's areas that are a little bit more dense.
We have a very good friend of the show whose family house is right near there, yeah. And she's been part of this thing.
Yeah.
And every time you hear what comes back at them, it makes no sense,
yes.
Right? So, but back to our conversation with David Hook, right? Hmm. It's also this is how Marana started, right? Right? Is they were worried about the city of Tucson Water was buying up dirt in mm-hmm. wells mm-hmm. and stuff in mm-hmm. Marana, and they said, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't want the city of Tucson mm-hmm. moving up on here. That's why they annexed that Orange Grove, Thornydale area mm-hmm. when they did. That was a big moment in Tucson history. And so both you and Vail are a little worried about the city of Tucson.
Yeah, I guess the city of Tucson,
okay to
eventually, you know, annexation is a property by property. You know, they can look at tracts and try to reach out to those property owners and get them to sign on to annexation. And so it's that process is a little bit more difficult. The problem is that once the property that is touching the city, if those property owners want to go with the city, it goes with the city. And I had this conversation with somebody who said, well, what could we have done? What if Tanca Verde was a town, what could we have done to that corner project, the rezoning? I said, really nothing, because it's in the city of Tucson now. So the city of Tucson has their own planning department. The city of Tucson has their master plan. They have their own idea of what they want to do. And so the only way to protect Tanca Verde, if the community wants to protect the feel, the whatever you want to call that community, if you want to have control your destiny, you have to incorporate. Otherwise, at the fringes, you're going to continually get these annexations, and you're going to continually get changes to the zoning and the vibe.
There's no better time to have this discussion than right now, right? Because one, the city of Tucson is at some of its worst, most offensive behavior ever right now. Number two, no Huckleberry.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because he was a constant opposition.
Yes,
you know, and you know he would poison the well like he did in Vail the first time, right? And so there's all these things going your way. Jan Lesher has been publicly in meetings supportive of annexations and incorporations. So this is the time to hit it,
right? And I'd like to give your listeners who live out there, because that's really the reason why I came on here, is to try to educate the people, because we're going to go on a listening tour and we're trying to get some information on the interest.
So is this a list of reasons on why this is?
Well, I'd like to get so that people get an understanding of what the size of Tanca Verde is.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to go to break, 8:15 in the morning. Carlos Ruiz, Christy Simone. I assume there's no website yet.
TancaVerdeTown.org.
Look at
it's,
you.
It's yes, TancaVerdeTown.org.
Look at them. CJ Ham gets this one, or a bunch of people did, a little Tainted Love. This reminds us of the old Vail Incorporation, the first one, Tainted Love. Wake up. 8579309. Hey, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christy Simone, Carlos Ruiz, HT Metals, of course, but he's part of a group of a small ragtag group of the Rebel Alliance trying to build up a possible incorporation of Tanca Verde Valley. So welcome back, sir.
Hi. Good to be back.
So what's some of the issues here on as we move through here?
Well, if people would, the proposed area that we're looking at, it basically follows the Tanca Verde Unified School District boundaries, because that's kind of a community in of itself. So that's goes all the way down to past Escalante and Spanish Trail. That's how far it actually Irvington. And we're going to maybe looking at a little bit beyond Irvington on along Spanish Trail. And then it kind of curves up, goes along, I say Melpomene, other people say Melpomene, and Tanca Verde Loop, and then Houghton.
Hold on, Matt will be
the tiebreaker. Melpomene or melpomene?
I've heard it both ways. I say melpomene.
I say melpomene.
So some of the long timers there say melpomene. So I don't know.
The way Carlos says it, it sounds like an amazing narcotic.
I've heard it both ways. Yeah. So
you better increase the drip of melpomene.
We need to call David Layton to get the background of the street so we know how it's pronounced.
And then so it goes up to Saguaro National Park, and it goes north to the Coronado Forest, and then we're also looking at to the west of Houghton, behind what's the city of Tucson on Tancredi. There's actually unincorporated areas behind a bit behind Tancredi.
So Catalina and Tancredi, what is that?
Catalina Highway, and that would be some.
Is that city?
There is city right there, but the city doesn't protrude maybe quarter of a mile, I think, north of Tancredi. The city only runs along Tancredi up to Houghton, only about a quarter of a mile strip to the north of Tancredi, and then you start getting into the Bear Canyon up, you know, Sabino High School. That's county. That's actually county, and the Arizona National. That's county.
All right.
So we're kind of looking at this at the Sabino Creek as the eastern,
but maybe
or
going
western mark.
Maybe going west of there one day would be not a bad idea.
Yeah, not a bad idea if it's
because you have to have a right. There's that balance of residential commercial.
Correct, and we have a lot of rooftops out there, and not a whole lot of commercial or retail type things. So the way we're looking at this is. You know, this state shared revenue is one of the things that when you're in unincorporated Pima County, you don't share in that. You don't get that. So once you become incorporated, you get a share of the state sales tax, and I think it's a county sales tax comes back to that incorporated. So that could be enough to stand up a town. A town only needs to supply two services: public safety and roads. You have to take care of the roads and public safety. So
some municipalities have forgotten that lesson.
That's right. That is, you're right. You're right. I talked to a town manager up in the northern part of Phoenix, and over time, over the 40 years, they've added services, and once you add those things, it's very difficult. You have to find the funding source, and two, when those funding sources become kind of tapped out or peaked out, then you have, you know, volatility in revenue streams, and so what we have to do is make sure, and that's what we're doing right now, is we're just looking at what's the revenue that could be generated initially.
Okay.
What are the costs, because everybody gets afraid about, oh, you're going to have to, you know, start a police department and this. No, you can contract. You can contract, say, with Pima County.
Well, Ted was just telling us about how Queen Creek was using Maricopa County Sheriff for 20 years before they started
There's a lot of towns, the town of Carefree, which I've spoken to their town manager. They still, for the last 40 years, they contract with Maricopa County Sheriff's Department.
You know who used to be a temporary town manager of Carefree?
Who?
The great Rodney Glassman.
Are you serious?
I'm not making that up.
It must have been more than 20 years ago, because the current guy's been there for 20.
It was Cave Creek.
Maybe it was Cave Creek.
Cave Creek.
Adjacent,
I apologize.
Adjacent.
I apologize, Carefree. Please don't send any lawsuits my way.
Yeah, you know, we're on a listening tour. We're going to have some public meetings too. I think next week. Gosh, yeah, October 4th.
What's this website of yours again?
It's tankavertitown.org, and we're doing this very, I would say, guerrilla kind of. Like you said, you called us the Rebel Alliance or the. I mean, there's five members of this. Of this board that we've created a 501c4 nonprofit to try to educate and see you know, what the community wants, and we're going to have two public meetings initially, and we have a little survey that we're going to be having at those, and also probably put out for people to respond, to find out what's important to them. And if the things, and also what concerns them, what's important to them and what concerns them if we had an incorporated area. And if there seems to be enough support, maybe then we'll go on to the next step.
All right. So there's going to be two meetings.
Yes.
That's why I was looking at my thing. So October 4th.
Yes.
Right. That's 4:30 to 6:30. That's a week from tomorrow.
That's a week from tomorrow.
And that's at the Miller Golf Links, which is near Golf Links in Harrison.
Yes.
Right. Then there's Bear Canyon Library 2 days later, and that is 4:30 to 6 at the Bear Canyon in Tankerverde.
Yes. So
right near Sydney's Sweet Shop.
Yeah.
Yep.
So people out in that area, maybe people that live in the Saguaro East portion that we are looking at, or anybody can come to these meetings that is interested in, that lives in Tankerverde. They can go to the 4th at the Miller Library on Golf Links, and then also the Bear Canyon. So we have things are going to happen, right? We've been talking to the folks at Vail, so we see what they're doing. I've been to one of their meetings, and doing nothing is also a choice, but right. Doing nothing has its implications also.
Of course.
It has its, so the last thing that I would like, I don't like this every so often, an area of town gets annexed by the city, and then we have this big brouhaha because it had been annexed and now they want to rezone. And then there's people saying, well, you're changing the character and this. Well, there is a way that people can prevent that and control their own destiny, and that is by incorporating.
So in 25 seconds or less, tell me why this is important to Carlos Ruiz.
I think that area, that community, has a certain nature. I think it could be better with planning. Right now there is no planning. It's just let whatever you do, what you want to do. The county is kind of under control. There's no real, where's the town center going to be? There's no plan. And so I'm looking at this as a 20-year, 40-year type of horizon and beyond to make that part of town better.
All right. Check out tankerverdetown.org. Two meetings coming up on the 2nd and the 4th. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Later. The time has come. Midnight Oil. The beds are burning, which could be some of the homeless camps in this town, sad to say. Rejoice and be glad. Mary Jacobs, the Oro Valley town manager, is out of our hair. She, quote, resigned last week. And so glad she's gone. So glad she's gone. Morale will improve. The trees will grow greener and fuller than ever. The weeds will be cut. The trees will stop being destroyed. You'll have someone who likes police officers, possibly. I'm telling you, man, it's a joy of it's a day of joy in Oro Valley. Amazing. Let's see what else we got to get to today. Glenn Greenwald, and I think Billy put this up on his Facebook, but I do like this these two little paragraphs. I can't stress enough, at its core, the politics of the Democrat Party is about criminalizing opposition to party and ideology. Dissenting ideas are, quote, disinformation and must be censored by big tech. Trump voters are inherently criminal insurrectionists and should be imprisoned. It's not bad.
The voters? Wow. Okay.
So, again, criminalizing opposition. The Democrat Party is into criminalizing opposition to party and ideology.
This is going back, if I may, this was going back to the creepy Joe Biden speech with the Marines and the red lights and all the red light, muted red lights in the background, where he said about the MAGA Republicans. And then they asked him, they said, well, do you mean Trump voters? Oh, no, I don't mean all of them. Well, this guy just came out and said, yeah, we do mean all of them. All of them. If you pull the lever and voted for the Donald.
So Kevin McCullough on Town Hall. Now, I don't know if you saw this video or not. It was over the weekend, right? But Joe Biden, now think about this, right? You got to think about, again, if this was Trump, how the media would lose their mind, right? So he abruptly changes subject. Looking directly at a woman he just spotted at this speech, he says, "You got to say hi to me." Then to the watching crowd, he states, "We go back a long way. She was 12 and I was 30. But anyway." Awkward laugh. That just came out of the President of the United States pie hole a couple of days ago.
I liked your shampoo.
He does. Paul Offit, an American pediatrician specializing in infectious diseases, vaccines, immunology, and virology. He is also the co-inventor of the rotavirus vaccine, was on CNN. Dr. Offit is an internationally recognized expert. This is from Pundit. Fields of virology, immunology, a member of the advisory committee of immunization practices to the CDC. Member of the FDA Vaccines and Related Biological Process Advisory Committee. Whoa, the FDA that says 67 years before we show you any of our work. So any of your kids, you're in math class, right? You got to do that long division. And the teacher says, hey, I'm going to take, you only get half credit. You didn't show your work. You'll say, hey, I'm pulling an FDA. I'll show you in 67 years. So on CNN, Dr. Offit said that when you're asking people to get a vaccine, I think there has to be clear evidence of a benefit. As we're not going to have clinical studies before this launches, think about that, right? All of the history of FDA approval, right? And after everything and all the hazards we're seeing of myocarditis, blood clotting, women can't have their period, women are having trouble giving birth after getting this mRNA. And we're going to say, you know, we're not going to have any clinical trials before the next one. Just trust us.
Funny, the outrage over the Dobbs decision, yet they're okay with cramming the vaccine on people.
My body.
Huh?
My choice. We talked about in the first hour, this is in Phoenix. We have 1 million DEA. In Phoenix, we had a 1 million pill seizure of fentanyl. Oh, speaking of small, bizarre things that could be harmful, tech giant Bill Gates is now pushing crop seeds that will help put an end to famine. One headline about the magic seeds are not hyperbole. In a op-ed on the Gates Foundation website, Bill himself actually admitted that he called these magically manipulated corn seeds magic seeds. Quote, the goal was to develop a new type of maize, which I started calling the magic seeds. Gates, who worked to force... Gates, who made a secret push to ram the Inflation Reduction Act through Congress, admitted the seed corn isn't magical, but insisted that the seeds called Droughtigo do have important qualities. Of course the seeds weren't actually magic. Thanks, Bill. So anyway, if you'd like some... Hey, where are all you people that are freaking out about the Monsanto plant over in Marana? So Monsanto's an evil, I believe. They're from Bayer. I think Bayer owns them, possibly. They're a big, evil James Bond conglomerate, right? But this nerd, right, who shove bad vaccines down everyone's throat during coronavirus, says, here's some seeds I was working on, and you guys don't say a damn word. Right? This is not Chris is excited about Monsanto either. Don't get me wrong. But when you have Monsanto that you want to villainize, which you're sure. And then, of course, Bill comes around with magic seeds. You're like, well, that just sounds great. Let's have some of Bill's magic seeds. So good. So good. What else do we got here today? We talked about the abortion ruling by the Pima County judge. So what's really interesting about all this, right, is the Pima County judge who made this decision, Kelly Johnson, she heard arguments between Planned Parenthood and the Arizona Attorney General. She delivered her. That's so weird. She delivered it on a Friday afternoon. Are you in shock, Matt, that the Friday?
So the Saturday was the day that all the stuff they passed out of the legislature took effect. So that's why
I know,
were.
But still, it's just like
right.
The way the news cycle works.
Sure, of course. Right? Yeah, you drop that on Friday and
she knew a week ago, right?
Let everybody stew on it, right, over the weekend, right? It's the news cycle joke, I get where you were going with that.
But in the end, so this is so interesting. We're reverting back to a territorial law, which sounds so antiquated, right? I thought when we became, I guess I'm just a weirdo and I didn't, I'm sure Charles Heller can help me out on this. So when we became a state and wrote a constitution that we then started to modify.
Wouldn't that supersede things?
Correct.
Is that where you're going?
Right. The idea.
One would think.
Right. The idea that somehow we're going back to 1903. Right. When we get to say 1903, I think that's how far it's going back here. So, again, for all of the pro-lifers out there.
I think it was the 1800s. I'm not positive, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it is. So,
late 1800s.
So, whatever it is, it's territorial. It's pre-1912.
Correct.
Okay. Again, this is... So, in the end, right, this is just going to get pushed up. This will be a Supreme Court case before it's over. That's where you're at. And we'll see who's on the court when it gets there. So, but that's where they're pushing. But again, everything's abortion, right? Everything's abortion for the Democrat Party. All of the other pain that they've put you through, right? All the millions of lives that have been lost and ruined due to an open border and fentanyl, right? All of the jokes that they've done in relation to pounding out free government money, which has made everything more expensive through historic, disgusting inflation, right? All the crimelessness, their gas being $4 a gallon, the average American family can't afford to pay its bills, so it's going to go further in the debt on their credit cards to pay for stuff, right? All of that pain and misery. And then basically what they got to sell you is we have unabashed abortion. Yes, Juan Siscomani's pro-life, right? But Juan's got, it's part of a tapestry, right? But if you look at the Kirsten Ingalls, right, thing, it's about he's pro-life.
That's it.
That's all she's
got. That's it. When you look at her ads, that's it.
And then the other thing, too, is the idea that Katie Hobbs, on the other side, again, reality. So Katie Hobbs' only non-abortion thing is that doesn't mention abortion is the ad with our loser Sheriff Nanos and Hathaway with her arms crossed like she's Cagney or Lacey, right? And at the same time, she's gonna secure the border. Right, and Nanos with his there's like two waterfalls falling out of his pits. Right, it was all sweaty that day. Right,
the guy that doesn't want Stone Garden money is going to secure the border.
Right,
right, yeah,
right.
Okay.
And he's like,
great.
Katie Hobbs is going to secure the border. Get out of here! Come on, again, back to redefining what ism is. Yeah, he looks like Ted Stryker flying over Macho Grande. That's Nanos.
I hope I'm not boring you.
With that big puss on his face, you know, he just does that big scowl. while people are dying in his community. He doesn't want to enforce the medians. He has an understaffed jail cell with a third-party Narcan thing that kills people. And then when it does, he blames the coronavirus. So then basically he gets to play and make sure that the three Dem votes that really like him, maybe four, give him whatever he needs, but he gets to be the reason that they have a coronavirus vaccine mandate is from him bullcrapping them at a meeting. So again, back to that's all they got is abortion. And we still have no money. So I started to see Juan spending money, right? Blake spending. I see a little Blake money, mostly from PACs. Peter Thiel is doing a big fundraiser on October 27th or something. The money's coming
soon. We should have ads around November 8th. Good. That'll move the needle. We're closing in on Election Day.
Carrie Lake's got nothing. She doesn't even have to do that much, but she's got to do something. Because, again, like I told you, my buddies were telling me about that focus group up in Phoenix.
Talonia Adams.
Right, the idea that Talonia Adams is not out there, it drives me insane. And the other thing is, we come back.
That's like a 1-foot putt on a golf course.
Hold that thought. We're gonna finish up our show with Talonia when we come back. 8:48 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Oh, this is way deep tracks. Oran, Juice Jones, The Rain. One Hit Wonders continues. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk.
All right, little Murray head. Let's just leave him real low in the mix. We don't want to shut off Murray on.
We can do One Hit Wonders again tomorrow. Let's do it again. Let's just go.
Plenty of material out
right
there.
Right over the top. I was laughing when you put, I saw in your description, Bill Beanstalk Gates. That was good. Very nice.
On the podcast.
So Maddie brought up Talonia Adams, right? This is the lady that worked for the Senate minority. Katie Hobbs was the leader of that Senate minority, and she was basically sued Katie and the crew for sexual and racial discrimination, and Katie lost twice in court. Okay?
Monetary award that was our taxpayer dollars.
Correct. Okay. Millions of dollars.
No, yeah. And Talonia Adams was reinstated in her job.
Correct.
Because Katie also retaliated against her for complaining that she had been wronged.
Correct. Now, so I don't, now do you have a subscription to the Republic?
And so Katie Hobbs wants a promotion for that.
So if they put this under subscribers only, a letter to the editor, they're going after Fincham because of some anti-Semitic group or whatever. I'm not paying attention to Fincham too much, but so it says, this is the letter to the editor, Matt. This is the title of it. I can't believe they're even, that's why I want to read it.
I think I saw the,
it says, ahead. If Fincham's anti-Semitic, why isn't Katie Hobbs a racist? Right?
Yep.
I mean, now I don't know the whole thing. I don't know if it's by association or he didn't condemn. I don't know what's going on the Fincham side. But this lady lost twice in court that she's a retaliating sexual racist discriminator.
Single mother.
Right.
So two jury verdicts.
Correct.
They went through the whole voir dire thing and,
voir dire.
This is a jury.
All right. Let's see. We got my buddy Fran up in Oral Valley. You know Fran. He wanted me to play in honor of Mary Jacobs from The Wiz, the scene where they celebrate the death of the witch. Listener John wants to know if I'm going to be doing a update to my voting guide that I do. I did the primary voting guide, which pisses off half the people out there. And
now we'll get the rest of them.
Everyone I missed the first time. So we will do a...
bayoneting the wounded, as we like to call it.
We will do a... we will do an updated voting guide with propositions. We got to have someone asked me a question about judges. We have to have that discussion too, and then who to vote in the general, or who to leave blank in the general. Might be something that rhymes with the word Edom. So that's coming up. Clarice up in the OV. Maybe now Mary Jacobs can take the shelterless person on the corner of Tangerine and Innovation Drive with her. Just saying. Rare. Something personal there. We got it all going today. Well, we had a fun show today, Matt. Very fun.
Yes, we did.
Dr. Ackerley is having an event at Proof at Union at St. Philip's Plaza. For people who really want to, you know, they want to change Tucson, this is it. And here's the thing with all of this stuff, especially in the city. Let's take the city of Tucson lens right now, right? So in the old days, you say, oh, I'd like to win and I want to become an elected official because I think we could do economic development, or we feel like taxation, we could lower taxes, or and those are all important things. We've been doing 13 years of show. But you know something? City of Tucson now, and this is not overstating, this is life or death stuff now, right? We are to a point in time where living in Tucson is now really dangerous for your existence. That's real heavy crap. So I know this sounds like, you know, for some of them, I'm overstating it. If you don't change the city council of Tucson, like put an Ackerley in for mayor, I know Cappy's running against Nikki Lee. I need new people. Maybe this Kevin Daley group, like we said, safety first candidates can come in there, right? But if you don't change out these four people next year, more and more people are going to die and suffer in Tucson, Arizona. And I'm not overstating it. That is not hyperbole. There are people, your brothers and sisters in the streets of Tucson who are being attacked by people with knives, pig stickers, all of these crazy things.
Machetes, yeah, you bet.
Axes,
axe.
Joel, our listener owns a couple, just said how one of his tenants was attacked by a guy with an axe. I mean, this crap's real. Just because the Arizona Daily Star doesn't cover it doesn't mean it's not happening, right? Just because the business leadership groups in this town want to ignore it doesn't mean it's not happening. Hold on, my phone's ringing. It says scam likely. Hello? Councilman Kozacik. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Everyone, and a great second hour with Ted, right, from
you bet.
Southern Arizona Leadership. We covered some of the RTA kerfuffle. We talked about crime. I talked about the uselessness of of Sun Corridor. And that Ted is moving his office further away from the core of Tucson because it's getting too dangerous for him and his employees. So, this is where we're at.
And Carlos Ruiz on Tankaverdian Corporation, we did it all today.
Love Carlos Ruiz. He is one of the
you
best,
bet.
One of my favorite guys in town. So, all right. Tomorrow we have U.S. Congressman Andrew Biggs. That's all right. It's okay. You can play it. Play it. It's all right. So Hoffman's going to be sitting in with me, Pima Perspectives news blog. Okay. We got that coming up. He'll be sitting in with me tomorrow. U.S. Congressman Andy Biggs at 7:37. But before that, soon to be, hopefully, U.S. Congressman Juan Ciscomani will be on at 7:07. So,
should have a grammar crimes segment with Jonathan.
I would love to do that. All right. We'll let him know. Everyone, have a great day. See you tomorrow.